I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to The Rugby Dungeon. Thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing, thank you for following us on Twitter, at Jay Beardmore, at The Rugby Dungeon, and of course, Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, at Rugby Podcast. Today, I've got Moritz Botha on the line, which is great because we are going over to Madrid to watch Spain versus Germany, who is currently coaching, to do our live podcast. So, if you're going to that, listen to this because it's going to be great. And if you're not going to it, go onto our Facebook group, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, go buy some tickets, and go watch Spain versus Germany, because it's going to be great. Now, here is Moritz Botha. How are you today, mate?
I'm very good, thank you. We had our first day in camp with the players from outside Germany joined us as well today.
Oh, right. So, do you have many players from outside Germany?
There's probably, I would say about... about 10 players that just joined us from France, and we've got a few from the Sevens guys in the Sevens program that joined us as well today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, before we get into the squad too much, just tell me about you at the moment. Have you had to relocate over to Germany?
I moved back down to Bedford, where I sort of initially started my... Well, when I moved to England in 2004, that's where I started. And my wife's from there as well, so I moved back down to Bedford, and just sort of been commuting back and forth every other week to Germany. And with the European Continental Shield, I came over for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I came back now for the internationals, and we'll be staying till December. So at the moment, just renting an apartment for the time that I'm here. So not officially moved, but just here for when I need to be at the moment.
Excellent. Now, not many people who watch the Premiership probably know about what's going on in Germany. So just give us a quick description of your training base there, because it's quite impressive.
Yeah, it's quite nice, actually. They've got a full-time rugby program in Heidelberg, which is called the Wild Academy. And so all the players that play in Germany, that play for Germany, but that's based in Germany, and potential other players, play at or train at this academy. Mm-hmm. And then they play for clubs in and around Heidelberg in the Bundesliga, which is almost like the German Premiership. And then The Wild Titans play in the European Continental Shield, which is a qualifying tournament for the Challenge Cup. But so we've got a full time program at the moment, and the facilities is quite nice. We've got a artificial pitch and a small artificial area that's under roof for lineouts and mauling and stuff to stay out of the rain when it rains. So it's very nice.
Excellent. So, how have you ended up with Germany then? Do you have German ancestry, or is it just right time, right place?
I don't have ancestry, but my the first Botha in South Africa are from Germany, so that's where all the Bothas come from.
Yeah.
But no, in 2014, my friend Justin Malk, who was played with me at Saracens, was retiring in that season. And he was over in England on a German passport because his mum's German. And yeah. I mentioned, I told him that, why doesn't he get capped before he retires? You know, it'd be a good story because, you know, he's not going to play for England, not going to play for South Africa. So it'll be a very good story.
Awesome.
And he got in touch with, his agent got in touch with Germany, and he got capped and he played for them. Well, he played for them once. He tried a few other times, but just logistics didn't work out. But so, yeah, he got capped. And since then, I've been following Germany's progress. And I knew one of the guys who play for Germany. I know his dad from when I was working and living in South Africa before I went to England. And then, funny enough, his son, he played at Saracens for a little while. He was there on trial, and then he ended up signing for Newcastle, I think, in a senior academy. So when I went to Newcastle, he was there. And then soon after, he went back to South Africa, and then when I saw again, he was playing in Germany. So I got in touch with him, and he put me in touch with the head coach, and things just developed from there.
Brilliant. So tell me a little bit about the structure of rugby in Germany. Are you getting most of your players from German clubs? What is the standard of German clubs like, actually?
There are a few clubs that sort of competitive. At the moment, HRK, which is where we are based, most of the players that are on the full-time academy play at HRK, mm-hmm. Heidelberg Rugby Club, and so they're quite dominant, but it's difficult because of logistics to have the players spread out all over Germany, which would make the league more competitive, but it's difficult to have a full-time program because these guys, train at the academy in the daytime, and then in the evenings they have to go and train at the clubs as well. So it's difficult to distribute them, really. But it's not a bad standard. Like I said, there's a few teams who are quite good, and they've got quite a few foreign players. But it's developing, and it's tough progress, really, because rugby's not played in schools, so it's all at clubs. And I've spoken to a few people, and the best thing for German rugby would be if we qualify for the World Cup in 2019. And I think you find that with countries that has, if you think of New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, countries that have won the World Cup, in two World Cups time or three World Cups time, they produce a lot of very good players. And when I was a young boy, when South Africa won the World Cup in 1995. 8-12 years later, the amount of the talent that came out of South Africa, because people or young players found heroes and people to look up to and aspired to be them. And I think the same thing will happen with Germany if we qualify for the World Cup, that they'll raise the profile so much, and young players will have heroes to look up to and aspire to be them. So I think that'll be very good for German rugby.
Oh, I completely agree. In terms of the athletes that you're trying to get, then Germany is obviously a very football dominated country. Are you competing for athletes with some other sport? Because I tend to find obviously rugby gives you a completely different sporting experience to football, and I'm surprised that not more people in Germany are playing it, because what's the alternative?
I think like handball and is quite big, but there's good talent coming through. I watched a game the other day, a German under 18 side against a South African touring side, and there's a lot of talent coming through, but it's difficult, to develop talent like that's all over the country, because the people who are coaching these players doesn't have the experience or the knowledge necessarily. So I think that's another sort of next step that will happen in Germany, is that is to try and get quality coaches all over the country, you know, be it that they go on coaching courses or, you know, just go and experience some environments where, you know, professional environments and learn and stuff, just to up the quality of the coaching that players receive all over Germany. And I think that'll help bring more talent through.
Oh, completely agree. I think the role of grassroots coaching is so underplayed. I mean, mm-hmm. You're looking at these emerging nations now, and they've got good coaching at the very top of the pyramid. But I think what's missing is that second, third, fourth tier.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, that's something that they really want to focus on is you know, to develop coaches all over the country. That, you know, say at every sort of Bundesliga club that there's you know, at least one quality coach that has qualifications and that's got experience and been on certain courses and everything. You know, that's one of the sort of next steps for German rugby.
So for you guys then, when you're assembling your squad, are you looking mostly to homegrown players, or are you just looking for people who are German qualified who will be good enough to take you to the next level?
A bit of both. You know, in Germany, like, obviously they know all the players, so all the guys that are in the full-time program, you know, are the best players in Germany.
Yeah.
So these players, you know, have to be sort of supplemented by German qualified players from abroad. But it's you know, we've got quite a few South Africans in the squad that have German heritage.
Mm.
But you know, there's a couple of guys. We've got one guy from Wales.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where's he based?
He plays for Bridgend.
Okay.
But yeah, he's played for Germany a few times before.
Give him a shout out.
Jamie Murphy.
Jamie Murphy. I will look him up.
yeah, he plays for Bridgend. And we've got a guy who joined us also today. He plays in France, but I think he's Welsh as well, although he sounds quite English. Luke Dykoff.
Right.
We've got a second row joining us next week. He can't make it this week. He played for Ealing last season.
Okay.
And he's playing at Old Ethanians at the moment. Adam Priokanen. And we're in touch with quite a few players that you know, play in the championship at the moment.
Mm.
But the difficulty is that they will lose their EQP status, which, you know, a lot of clubs, you know, obviously want their players to have EQP status, as they, you know, get money from the RFU for fielding a certain percentage of EQP players. So that's the difficulty we have at the moment. But yeah, so I'm pretty sure that if we qualify for the World Cup next year, then I'm pretty sure that everyone will put their hand up to come and play for us.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Now, I don't really understand the EQP system in the Premiership, but I know it is very important to the players that they keep their EQP. Like you say, for the funding, and the more likely to get selected, or should I say, more likely to stay at the club, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Obviously, the clubs want to have their players EQP qualified or English qualified, so they can, you know, get more funding from the RFU. You know, if they bring players in from abroad, you know, be it from Samoa, Fiji, or South Africa, or something like that, then you know, they probably sort of a marquee player. So for them to have one of their English qualified players lose their status is, you know, I'm not sure how much it will actually affect the club, but you know, they can put a certain amount of pressure on the players to not lose it. And you know, as a player, that, you know, you do what you're told, basically. But it's something that you know, we're working around, trying to work around. I mean, I think a lot of players that play in the lower leagues, you know, if we can find the right talent that play, say, in the National One in England, that we can develop that's German qualified, then, you know, that'd be easier because it's less of an emphasis in the lower leagues. But, you know, like I said, the talent around here, there's some good talent, and we've had a couple of young guys join us today in preparation, so we have more numbers. And, you know, I was very impressed with them. And in a year or two, they will probably be regular starters for Germany. So, you know, the future is bright.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine the amount of German qualified players there must be between South Africa and France. I mean, Florian Fritz must have some German ancestry, for instance. I mean, there must be absolutely loads. But getting over that hurdle of qualifying for the World Cup, I think that's when you'll really see the influx.
There's a few guys from France and a few have joined us today as well. I think we've got three or four that play in pro in France. We've got our best player plays. He's titled at Cast, Damien Tusak, and unfortunately not going to be able to join us. I think for this week. Hopefully, we can have him later in the November test series. But you know, he's a starter for Cast in a top 14. Hopefully we can have him in February, March time.
So what is the development pathway for these players? Because you want to develop them from German clubs, it's obviously the best way to do it. Once you've got a lad who you think is going to be good enough, is it a case of getting him capped but then pushing him towards the top 14 or pushing him towards the Premiership? Or do you want to keep him domestically playing rugby in Germany?
It's a difficult one. I mean, we've got a young second row who plays at La Rochelle at the moment, who's coming to camp today. I don't know if you know this, but the owner of Stade Français, the new owner, Dr. Wild, is the main sponsor. The Wild Academy is his baby. So we've got ties with Stade Français at the moment, and we've had one of our young flankers go there for about 6 weeks, about a month ago, go and train with them and pick up some experience and stuff. So we do encourage the guys to play or to get good experience if they can, but at the moment I think we're trying to keep talent in Germany. We want to qualify for the Challenge Cup, which will obviously give us more games, more competitive games next season. But there's also talks going on at the moment about having a sort of professional league in Europe, where we'll have one team from Germany, two from Romania, two from Georgia, Belgium, different countries all over that, sort of second tier countries, and have a professional league amongst those teams, which, it's a tough competition. And then there's also talks hopefully or possibly we can join the Pro 14.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can, develop enough talent or, get enough quality players in to be able to do something like that.
Do you look at the Italy experiment in the Pro 14 and think maybe there's some warning signs there of what we should and what we shouldn't do?
Yes, possibly, but I think, I'm not sure what the situation is in Italy, but I think to develop players to be at a professional level or professional standards, you need to have competitive or professional fixtures, regular professional fixtures. You know, that's the only way you're gonna be able to develop a team and to a certain standard. You know, for whatever reason, I'm not sure why the Italian teams aren't thriving in the Pro 14. I'm not sure, but you know, I think for Germany.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To have a professional competition or a competition of very high standard is the only way they're gonna progress and you know, be competitive in world rugby at the end of the day.
Yeah, just out of interest, do you know anything about the structure of the supposed league with the tier two nations and where that's up to? Are there any time frames, or is this mostly just a talking shop?
I'm not sure. It's something that's been mentioned to me, and that's something that they're looking to develop. Mm. You know, that's sort of not something that I'm focusing on, or sort of probably above my pay grade.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm here to try and help Germany qualify for the World Cup. So yeah, that's my focus at the moment.
Okay, that's fair enough. Let's go back to something then, which is very much in your pay grade. You're with the German team now. You're coaching them. And using your experience as a professional player from the very highest level, how have you had to adapt in order to match what you know with the talent available and the time and the contact that you have with these players?
Yeah, it's when I first joined, you know, the main focus was to sort of put structures in place. Defensive structures, playing attacking structures, sort of making it black and white that, you know, from this line out, this guy, this guy, and this guy go here, this guy go here. So there's a specific role that every player has from set pieces, and you know, there's an accountability then. So you know, when I was playing amateur rugby, it was, you know, we had one call for this and one call for this, and you know, then we have three guys going around the corner and one guy staying here, but there was no accountability.
Mm.
Cause, you know, it was just like, you know, the first three guys go here, and it was for me probably still like that up until sort of 5 years ago professionally, and probably for most players, but more and more you have you know, you go here, you go here. We'll have our eight in the wide channel. We have our seven in the other wide channel, something like that. So there's an accountability for everything, and that's something that I've brought with me. And you know, just a lot of sort of structure and precision in terms of, you know, when we and this is probably from my Saracen background. As when we exit, when we box kick, then you go here, and this is how we do this, and this is how we do this. And so, you know, this I've tried to bring a lot of structure.
Mm.
To, you know, have more organization and in the long run, well, not in the long run, but you know, all this structure is set in place to sort of manipulate situations so we can sort of set the opposition up to be in a certain position, so we can take advantage of it. So That's one of the reasons that I like to put so much detail into stuff like that, is to try and manipulate situations so we can have the upper hand.
Tell me this, how do you go about building something like accountability? Because it's one of those words I hear a lot of in rugby, and you understand, don't you, how you draw a defensive system on a whiteboard, but how do you build the mental side, like you mentioned before, like accountability?
So from, say, a seven-man lineout, if the first breakdown is in and around the post, around the midline down the field, then I'll have the back three guys from my lineout folding around the breakdown. So I know that three, five, and eight have to go around the breakdown. Mm. So if they're not there, then obviously one of them, you know, has messed up. And from that lineout, that my seven or my six should work out to be the widest player from that next phase. In an attack, you know, from a certain lineout, we'll have specific numbers or specific players going to the first breakdown. Mm-hmm. And the next phase around, if they come around a corner, then we have specific numbers, you know, say 1, 3, and 4 or something going around the corner from the first breakdown. And, you know, from a lineout or from a scrum, we'll have, say, 8 going wide and 2 staying, or vice versa. So it's, you know, something that I brought in, and it's part of professional rugby that, you know, there's sort of a lot of studying that you have to do in terms of knowing your role in every situation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's professional sport. And, you know, if we're working in an office and you're working in accountancy, then, you know that when someone does this, then, you know, this will be the result. Or, you know, you have to know your job inside out, or, you know, you'll either get fired or you will not be promoted or something like that. And, you know, similar to rugby, nowadays it's professional, and you have to know your role inside out. If you don't know something continuously, then, you know, I doubt you'll get your contract renewed or something like that. So, you know, there's pressure on the players, but I mean, it's not rocket science. It's the players need to put the effort in to be successful and to grow in a team and to help the team be successful.
Looking back over your career and the coaches that you've had, are there any which particularly influence you to be the coach that you are today?
Yeah, definitely. I think Brendan Finter had a massive influence on me, and, you know, it's one of the reasons that I want to become a coach, was the way he treated me and the way he made me feel. You know, and I wanna have players feel the same feelings and have the same experience that I had. You know, which was brilliant. It's a great motivator, but he also, you know, he always complimented players, and even if, you know, you knocked 5 balls on that day, that he told you that, then he would tell you that, you know, he knows you knocked 5 balls, but he appreciated that, how hard you worked and how hard you chased back on that one kick or something like that. So you always wanted to put in extra work for a guy like that. You know, Mark McCall, Paul Gustard, Alex Anderson, you know, and the whole Saracens environment, it was just a great environment. And, you know, if I can take, you know, something positive from all those coaches, then hopefully I can't go far wrong. You know, Dave Wald at Newcastle is a guy who was very into his specifics and accuracy and stuff like that. And, you know, I took something from him. Mickey Ward at Newcastle, who, you know, I personally think is a very talented coach, very technical in terms of the forward stuff. You know, took some from him. So I think all over my career, there's been people that has influenced me and that I've learned from, and, you know, applying it today.
Yeah, I, do you know what? I'm always amazed every time someone brings up Brendan Venter. And I've been doing these interviews for quite some time now. No one ever mentions anything negative ever. In fact, it's not that they never mention anything negative. It's that it's always overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, no, he's a great man, and you know, not just a great coach, but you know, a great husband and father. And I think as someone that everyone who's worked with him and or played under him, you know, you can aspire to be a bit more like him, and you'll be a better man for it. And that's something that at Saracens that, you know, I think that while they still focus on today is that the player not only becomes a better player, but he also becomes a better human being. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, you know, I like to use as a coach as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. High praise indeed. So you've got some your autumn games coming up now. Just run us through the schedule.
So we've got Brazil this weekend, and then we've got USA next weekend, and then Chile the weekend after, and they all in Germany.
Oh wow! So I mean, I've never seen the Brazilian team play. I've never really come across them. I know quite a bit about the United States team. Do you know what to expect?
Yeah, they quite a big physical bunch. You know, they run hard, they tackle hard. Yeah, big men. But hopefully, you know, we'll play smart, and hopefully tactically and technically we can edge them.
Mm-hmm. Now, am I right in thinking? I'm just looking at. Well, looking at the three teams which you mentioned, is the USA the one which you'll be targeting as your big test?
Yeah, we're ranked above the other two, so yeah, USA will definitely be the biggest test for us.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. They're a good team, they're an improving team, they've got a lot of support from World Rugby, and I think they'll give you a good run for your money.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're still developing and still improving. You know, you see more and more of their players in the Premiership and in professional teams. You know, so I think they're still improving. And you know, they played Canada end of last season and drew one and then smashed them in the next one. So
yeah, they did.
You know, it's definitely going to be our toughest test. But hopefully we can surprise them.
Mm. What are your expectations then for this run of games?
3 out of 3.
3 out of 3. That's an excellent answer.
we'll take it week by week. But you know, we're not going into any game to lose. So you know, we're definitely targeting every game, and you know, we're putting the hours in and analysing teams and trying to find areas to expose. You know, areas we can attack. So yeah, definitely try and win both or all three games.
Well, I sincerely hope that you do. Do you think that the Romania game was a bit of a turning point for this team?
Yeah, definitely. It's you know, something that still gets mentioned you know, quite well every now and again. but I think that it was a big disappointment afterwards, because you know. And the problem as well, after they won that game, that the next few games weren't up to scratch, which I think was also a knock-on effect of at that time the players weren't full-time, weren't professional, and it's difficult for, well, you know, even in the Premiership, it's difficult to back it up week in, week out. But, you know, those guys are conditioned to it, you know, mentally and physically. So for, you know, I think for the German team to go and beat Romania, you know, emotionally it was, you know, a big challenge, and they rose to it and obviously achieved it. But I think to mentally get themselves up for the rest of the games, I think obviously found a challenge, but you know, hopefully now that we're professional, and you know, can you know, prepare the players physically better, but also prepare him emotionally better to deal with stuff like that, and you know, getting the mindset right and sort of, you know, a bit of psychology. Hopefully, we can we can back performers like that up in the future.
Now, you just mentioned that you got some that you've got some full time players now, which you didn't have previously. World Rugby are assisting all the tier two nations, although I'm sure that's not the correct term. Is it emerging nations, I should be saying?
Yeah.
Emerging nations. But Germany does also have a benefactor. Can you just tell me a bit about, sorry, it's Hans-Peter Volt. Hans-Peter Volt.
Yeah.
Have you met the guy? What's he like? tell me about his enthusiasm for rugby.
Yeah, I've met him. He's a great guy. Obviously, he got a big, love for the game. He's been in and around sort of German team for a while, and also acquired or Stade Français end of last season when they were sort of in a bit of turmoil. So he's got two babies at the moment. But we're very lucky to have someone like that. His company funds the full-time academy that we have here.
Yeah.
To develop the players and help bring talent through here.
Excellent. Well, if he gets it right, I'm sure it's going to be a tremendous investment. How do you view the competition that you currently play in? Over the spring, the Rugby Europe International Championship. Were you surprised at all by it?
It's been, really good in my eyes. You only have to look at Georgia, how they're faring on a world stage.
Yeah.
In the last World Cup, how well they did. The Russian teams coming through. They one team beat Stade Français this season. I remember, playing for Newcastle in Sochi against a Russian team and getting beaten.
Wow! What was that like playing there?
It was great experience, to be honest. We looked at the footage of Connacht playing the same team in December, and they played. I think a long way from where we played because the game was moved to Sochi. Scheduled to be in Sochi because it will be too cold in the other place. And I think when Conrad played, it was -21.
Yeah, it was. Apparently, iPhones stopped working. It was so cold.
Right. So when we played the Russian side, we played them in Sochi. And when we left Newcastle, it was covered in snow. And we got to Sochi, and it was sun was out and it was pretty sunny. It was quite mild, and we went for a walk on the beach, so it was a great experience.
It's continental climate for you.
Yeah.
The Connacht game was against. Can't remember now. But
NSI.
That's it. And it's the only game that they played in Siberia. And from what I can tell, it was thoroughly miserable to be there. But if you were there, it was an experience of a lifetime.
I suppose if Connacht lost it would have been a
yeah, quite.
Experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, it happened to Stade against Krasnoyarsk, so it can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
Well, Moritz, you've been an absolutely wonderful guest. Where can we keep up with Germany and yourself on social media?
There's a sort of German rugby website called totalrugby.de. Mm-hmm. That covers a lot of the German stuff. There's a Deutsche Rugbyverband DRB rugby Twitter account. Mm-hmm. which covers the 7s and the 15s. And then there's a Volt Rugby Academy on Instagram, which covers the Volt Academy and will probably cover some of the German stuff as well. But we need to get a put Instagram account for the 15s as well.
Excellent. Well, best of luck this autumn, mate. And I will, and I'll be rooting for you.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.